Welcome to the Prepped and Polished podcast, the podcast that empowers you to take control of your education, featuring weekly interviews with influencers in the world of education, as well as tutoring tips, lessons, and updates. And now, here's your host, Alexis Avila.
And welcome back to the Prepped and Polished podcast. This is episode 164. This is Alexis Avila, your host. Be sure to join our Prepped and Polished podcast community on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type Prepped and Polished and go to our site, preppedandpolished.com, for more information if you need one-to-one, in-person, or online tutoring. We've been doing it for a while, so we'll definitely help you out. 781-753-9951. Have a question or reaction during or after the podcast? Submit your question to radio at preppedandpolished.com. Let's get to today's guest. Today on episode 164, I speak to Greg Cohen, who's the founder of Campus Bound, a company that helps a wide variety of students apply to colleges throughout the United States. Greg has presented to hundreds of organizations about financial aid and has appeared on local media outlets such as Fox 25 News. Greg has an MBA from Babson. And on today's episode, Greg talks about how to maximize your need in merit aid scholarships. So let's get to today's guest, Greg Cohen of Campus Bound. Hey, Greg, thanks for coming on the Prepped and Polished podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Great. Can you share with the audience a little bit about your background and how you became founder of Campus Bound, really just an authority with the financial aid process?
Sure. So I started doing this probably close to 20 years ago now. My mother was actually doing this out of her house, doing college consulting out of her house, and back in the late 90s, I decided that I wanted to get involved. I was finishing up my MBA from Babson and thought it would be a great opportunity to start a business and really grow the business. And so I learned the financial aid parts of that through coursework, a lot of research, discussions with financial aid officers. And, you know, for the better part of the last 20 years, I've been working individually with people to navigate this whole process of the financial aid world and how to get scholarships and grants and really making a difference in people's lives when it comes to that.
That's amazing. And Campus Bound, tell us about the services Campus Bound provides.
Sure. So Campus Bound supports families through the college admissions and financial aid processes. So we work one-on-one with families. Our offices, we have four offices in Eastern Massachusetts. We have about 30 counselors on the team that work individually with those students. And we work with them step by step through the process of figuring out, helping the students to figure out what they want in a college, what colleges those needs, academically, socially, financially, and many other things that can come into play. We help them with the applications themselves, the essays, the resumes, practice interviews, and everything to that effect, and then also with the financial aid. So helping them to go through that process and try to position themselves to get as much aid as possible and, you know, cut the costs, help them with the financial aid forms, loans, appeals, negotiating with the schools, and that kind of thing.
And what are some of the experiences that your college counselors have typically?
So our team of counselors are all either from the college admissions world. So they were college admissions officers at a wide variety of different colleges. Or they were college counselors on the high school side. So they've been working with students in that capacity, either selective private high schools or maybe public schools as well. So wide variety. We work together to collaborate with these students to help them, you know, have a whole team behind getting into that process.
Awesome. What do you find families typically do wrong when it comes to financing for college?
No, I think the biggest mistake they make is they don't really consider things early enough, especially when it comes to developing the list of colleges. So colleges are, some colleges may become that seemingly have a really high price tag, may become more financially reasonable through financial aid. And so they may rule out the chances of going to that school because of the perceived cost. Or on the other side of it is they don't want to address the issue. And so they end up with a bunch of schools that while the student is interested in going to those schools, are cost prohibitive, and they end up taking on too much debt or deferring retirement, and it ends up costing them for years and years. So I think it really all starts with building that list of schools And that can make a biggest difference.
Awesome. And what are some of the differences between need and merit aid money? And how do you know if you qualify for need-based aid?
Okay, so there's all there in terms of that. So there's just to give you sort of a general description of things. So merit scholarships are scholarships that are given by the colleges primarily. These are can be really significant size scholarships, and they're used as a recruiting tool. They are discounting the tuition to attract the students that they want. This helps with their providing a stronger student body. Students that are high achieving, and so what we're seeing at a lot of schools, with the exception of some of the most prestigious schools in the country, so the vast majority of schools will give out money based on how qualified the student is. If the student is in the top part of their applicant pool, then they'll get money, and it can be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 per year, as long as they maintain a certain GPA, and that GPA oftentimes isn't that hard to reach. So this is a really viable option, and that's strictly based on your merit. Even if your family's of a more significant income, you can still get those merit scholarships. Sometimes there's an extra step that's done in order to apply for those merit scholarships, but those can be pretty significant. There are also third-party merit scholarships, and those scholarships are smaller scholarships from the local chamber of commerce or the through your high school. Certainly those should be pursued. They tend to be $500 or a couple $1,000 one-year scholarships, so much smaller. The big merit scholarships come from the colleges. But as you're looking at schools, you can find out what schools might be willing to give you those kind of merit scholarships and really make a significant dent in the college cost. Need-based aid is a lot more complicated. What a school will do is they are going to look at your family's finances, and it will include a look at your income is a big factor, savings, number of children in college. They'll take a look at student savings, students' income, a whole host of factors. And they figure out a number called your expected family contribution. And they subtract that number from your need, from the cost of their school, and that's your need. So let's say a school costs $60,000 per year and your expected family contribution is $40,000. You have a 20 need that a school will try to meet. Now, the wealthier schools, and it's not a large list, but the wealthier schools can meet 100% of need. So they would give you financial aid of $20,000, and that could come in the form of loans from the government, work study, or grants. And usually, for a first year student, the loan portion of the package might be the first $5,500 to $7,500 worth of aid. Maybe a work study might be $1,500 to $2,000. And then hopefully there'll be more than that, and that's the grants or scholarships. And so the bigger your need, the bigger the difference between the cost and your expected contribution, the more money you're likely to receive in terms of grants and scholarships. So they're going to be looking at you from on the income, which is a big factor. They just changed it last year. That was 2 years back. So if you're going to school in the fall of 2018, your 2016's tax year is what they're looking at.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, how do you maximize your opportunity, your chances of getting some of this need and merit aid scholarship money?
So I think with merit scholarships, it's pretty straightforward. You want to find places that the student will obviously like, that's really important, but where he or she would also be in the top part of their applicant pool, meaning that could be based on grades in high school, SAT scores. There's usually a whole host of factors that schools will consider that you don't always know. Sometimes it's black or white. If you're in the top 10% of their SAT scores, or if your SAT score is over a certain amount, you might get more money. All the more reason to do test prep. And being able to achieve that, because that tends to be a pretty common indicator. So if the average SAT score for a school is between 1200 and 1300, if you're at 1320, not only will you probably get accepted, but you probably get money. But it could be your grades, it could be geography you're from. If you're a school looking to school in the Northeast and you're from the West Coast, they might be want to try to recruit students from Arizona or Utah or California. It could be because of a special skill, like a athletic or artistic ability. So it could be a number of different factors that can go into that. But look where you are in their applicant pool, and that can be a real factor. You know, as far as need-based aid, I think it really comes down to, you know, understanding where what your eligibility is up front, understanding what schools might be likely to give you. And so that would that's one thing to try to maximize it, is building that school list so that you're eligible for as much aid as possible at that school. You know, I have to think about, this is a real investment you're about to make, and you're going to send three kids to college, you're buying a house, and so doing as much examination about the house, you know, you get the inspection, you do a financial projection, you look at the debt and the mortgage, you shop around for mortgages, you need to do that here up front. And I think that's, if you do a good job with that and finding that fit, it can save you a lot of money. You know, in terms of different strategies, certainly there's asset allocation strategy. You know, certain savings count more than others in the financial aid formula. So there could be some shifting. If you're self-employed, how you time your income can be really important. So if you're, you know, going to the school in the fall of 2018 or 19, let's say, well, any income from 2017 is going to be counted. So maybe you take a little bit more income in 2016 if you're self-employed and in lieu of 2017. So there's some strategies like that. I think the other thing that we see more and more of these days is appealing about special circumstances or asking for more. It's okay to try to ask for more from these schools. And we're seeing schools increasing their packages by $3,000 to $5,000 this time of year as they're making decisions. So don't be shy about, if you've got high medical expenses, if your income is fluctuating over time, don't be afraid to ask and present that to the school. The worst they can say is no. So don't be afraid to ask for more, and that's another way to increase your rewards.
Wow, that's a great tip. Now, when's a good time to start your college planning and also your financial planning for college?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that, you know, really for the admission side of things, they're really looking at your high school years is what matters.
Yeah.
You know, I think that early on though, as a freshman, there really isn't a lot to do. You really want to just be doing well in school. That's the best thing you can do. I think as you start to get into the sophomore year and have to make decisions about what courses you're going to take as a junior, what testing you're going to do when, it's a good time to start to think about it. But junior year is really the big year of finding schools that are good matches for you and doing that search and taking all the tests and really doing it and then going to the senior year. As far as financial aid and financial, well, I think that, you know, saving is a really, really important thing to do. So the earlier you can start saving, the better. The saving actually has a very small impact on your eligibility for financial aid. So start saving young, right, when they're babies. But in terms of financial aid planning, you really want to be – they're not going to be looking at anything before the January of your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So any changes you want to make before then. And so to be thinking about it then, they're going to start to look at that every year while you're in college. You know, each year it's going to be staggered 2 years back. Now, even if you don't get started as a sophomore, it doesn't mean it's too late. Because they're going to be looking at this over time, you still want to be strategic about choices that you can make that help you get more aid as you go. Even if you're, you know, let's say, for example, a family is paying for their first year of college, and they decide they're going to sell some stocks in order to do so. Well, they sell the stocks and the capital gain gets presented on their taxes. So that means their income in their following year is going to be higher,
right,
which could reduce their eligibility for financial aid in that follow-up year.
Right.
So even if you don't do all the steps you can early on, throughout the high school and even into college, you can still make a difference.
Wow. And tell us about your new program, Apply Right.
So what we did recently is we launched applyright.college. So it's applyright.college. And what that is essentially a do-it-yourself tools, resources, and other videos and other great content to help you through this process. So it's a self-serve tool. It allows you to get alerts and reminders about key deadlines. Nice. It allows you to do a career assessment tool that's all built into the system. So figuring out what kinds of careers and majors might be good matches for you. So there's a lot of exercises, resources, and tools that's built into this online platform. It also has, and that's both for the admission side and as well as for financial aid. Then we also have two a la carte kind of items that you can do, which is getting help with your college essay. So you submit an essay, we'll review it for you, or submit your criteria in your transcript in a school profile, and we'll develop a college list for you. So it provides you with some use of our human experts, not just us. You know, there are some tools out there that are search engines for picking colleges, but this is a human that's visited these campuses, that's talked to the college reps, talked to students that have gone there. And so based on your criteria, we can develop a college list for you. And it's at an affordable price. It's a la carte. And so it's a great way to get the college counseling expertise and financial aid counseling expertise, but more in a do-it-yourself affordable fashion.
And I believe that for our listeners today, if you know, I'm going to put in the show notes a generous coupon code for some of those Apply Right products.
That's right. So in the notes, hopefully it's there. It's prepped25, and you'll get a 25% discount off of any of the ApplyRight.college services.
Oh, that's great. Now, tell us how we can get in touch with Campus Bound and work with your counselors to help.
So the website for Campus Bound is campusbound.com, and our phone number is 888-843-5560. If you'd like to speak to me directly, it's my extension is 101, but there's a great team of counselors there. Any one of them that answers the phone should be able to help you with explaining the services. We always start with a no obligation meeting. So we can get an understanding about where you are in the process, answer some questions that you might have about the college process, do an assessment of your eligibility for financial aid. So there's sort of that one time, usually they're 45 minutes or an hour long meeting with a no obligation, see how we can help. And then what we do is we have a number of different packages and ways that you can work with us. So it's very flexible. Some people come in for just an hour of help. We've got different levels of packages that you can use. So really, it's not one size fits all. It's a series of different options that you have that we'll go through at that time. But if you visit the website at campusbound.com or applyright.college, you can see and learn about what we do, and our contact information is there as well.
Right, and I know there's a lot of counseling firms out there across the U.S. Campus Bound, but some of them, it seems like they make these promises they can't keep, like everyone's going to get into Harvard. What do you guys kind of, not promise, but like ensure in your students in terms of like outcomes, more or less, like just,
Right. I think one of the, I think there's a few things that we pride ourselves on. One of them being is really helping our students to find a good fit and put their best foot forward.
Nice. Yeah.
And also making the process go more smoothly. So there's some emotional part of this. What I can tell you, I'm very proud of, is that we aren't ones that promise, 4 out of 5 of our students will get into Harvard or Yale. But it's more about the number of our students that stay at their school that they start. The national average for students moving to a second school after the first year is 30% go to a different school after the first year nationally. Our students stay at their school over 95% of the time, or less than 5% of the time that they transfer. So they find that fit, which can also have a cost savings as well. We also have we do a survey at the end. Everybody gets surveyed, and our average rating is 9.5 in terms of on a scale of 1 to 10. So people are very happy with the service, but they also find that school that's a better fit. At the end of the day, it makes it a 4-year process. It saves them a lot of money, and there's a lot more happiness that comes from it. But we do help put students in their best foot forward with their applications too. I think our team of folks that are experienced veterans in this process know what colleges are looking for. They know, you know, the emotional part of this process as well, and so it can really help to make a difference in terms of getting in and putting a stronger application together, which might lead to merit money.
Any advice for teens listening to us today who are getting ready to cross that bridge from teenager to young adulthood?
You know, I think that there's a couple things that come to mind if you're a high school student, you know, going through this. I think one thing is that there's not one school that's the only school. There's been studies that have been done that show the schools that are the best fits for you, where you get engaged, most of the students are the ones that end up doing well in the long run. So it's less got to do with what the ranking is in U.S. News and World Report. It's got more to do with how well that school fits you and how well you get involved. So if you get involved with the school and meet people and talk to professors and do internships, which are really super important, you're going to be on your way to some great, great things. I think the other thing that I would just encourage people to do, going back to the financial part of things, is, you know, for the financial part of this process can be the elephant in the room. Parents don't feel comfortable talking about it with students, and students don't know to ask about it. But if you ask about it and bring it up and ask, is this part of my college search? Parents might not want to have to break that news to you. They want you worked hard in high school. They want you to do as best you can and have as many opportunities as you can. But I think that if you can tell them, you know, basically, it's okay to tell me if I have to worry about the cost. Because what you don't want to happen is you get accepted to a bunch of schools and then you have to be, you can't go, or you just take on too much debt. So you can be the, you know, the one that promotes that discussion with a simple question. You know, do I have to worry about cost when it comes to that? And let's figure this thing out if we do.
That's amazing advice. Greg, thanks for coming on the Prepped and Polished podcast. And, you know, good luck with ApplyRight. It's a great program, and I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And this wraps up our show today. This was episode number 164 with Greg Cohen of Campus Bound and ApplyRight. Episode 165 is coming soon, our next tutoring tips episode. And we have a special offer for you for listeners to the podcast today. Remember to enter the coupon code PREP25 and you will receive a 25% discount off ApplyRight products. For another related conversation, check out my podcast number 148 with Brad Baldridge on how to tame the high cost of college. To access episode 148 and today's episode with Greg Cohen, number 164, and all of our podcast episodes, here are two ways to do that. You go to preppedandpolished.com/podcast or go to soundcloud.com/preppedandpolished. Thank you for joining us on the Prepped and Polished podcast. Now go out there and take control of your education.
You've been listening to the Prepped and Polished podcast. For more information, check out preppedandpolished.com. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Class dismissed.